Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah. Started as a very young man, had a very challenging ministry. He was prophesying the doom of Jerusalem and the overtaking of Jerusalem if Judah did not repent, which they did not do. And so he faced a lot of persecution. In the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, he starts out with the sin of Judah. And it says here, the sin of Judah, this isn't on the overhead, I'm just going to quickly read this. The sin of Judah is written with a pin of iron. With the point of a diamond, it is engraved on the tablet of their heart. And I thought that was interesting that 2,700 years ago, the strongest thing to engrave anything was the point of a diamond. You can find science in the Word of God. And God says the sin of Judah is engraved on their heart. With the point of a diamond, it's written. And he goes on and he begins to prophesy. And so this is a conversation. He is prophesying and then he's responding to the prophecy. And so as you read chapter 17, which we're not going to read the whole chapter, I'm just going to look at one scripture tonight, but I want to set the stage. The title of tonight's message is, Where Will Your Name Be Written? Where will your name, where will my name be written? Now that's an interesting topic. It's not about salvation. This is not a get saved message, although that will be in here. But there is an interesting verse that Jeremiah begins to speak, and it's the word of the Lord. So he's prophesying. And if you'll just scroll on down, Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says, Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. So he's talking about a people that have departed from God. He's talking about backsliding. For he should be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Verse 7, Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes. Its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit. Now, I don't know about you, but I definitely believe I'm in a year of drought. There's a promise in here that God is not in famine and drought. He is, as we're going to see in a moment, the fountain of living waters, and that in a time of distress, in a time of trouble, in a time of drought and famine, the man or the woman that trusts in God will actually be able to flourish and be like a tree planted by a river of living water. So in other words, that's good news to me. So there's one side that's backsliding, and there's another side that's flourishing in the worst of circumstances. And he goes on and he begins to speak, and again, he's prophesying and he's responding. He's making comment on the prophecies. He says in verse 9, The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So now Jeremiah is prophesying, and God is saying, the heart is exceedingly wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? In other words, God says, I can absolutely fool myself with my own heart. My heart, my spirit, my soul, that which makes me, that eternal part of me. Spirit and soul can only be distinguished. It's very hard to define them both, quite frankly. But spirit and soul, the heart, can actually deceive the very one who it belongs to. The heart is exceedingly wicked, who can know? But I, the Lord, test the heart. So God knows exactly what's in my heart, and he knows what's in your heart. Again, he is addressing a people that are backsliding. And he is giving them a prophecy and a word from God, and there is hope in this word. One doesn't trust in God, and one does trust in God. Let's move on. He goes on to say, As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. So in other words, a partridge is a bird, and if she absolutely sits on a nest and those aren't eggs that are going to hatch, she's wasting her time, and so is anybody that's going to get riches when they're not trusting in God. Now, the reason I think this is important is because of where we are as a nation. Because where we are as a people. Because we are definitely, and I'm Jim and I have been around a long time, and we have not seen things like this before. We have not. It doesn't mean they haven't been. It doesn't mean there hasn't been hard times, depressions, other things like that. We just haven't seen it in our lifetime, and we're the boomers. So here I am seeing this in the Word of God. Now let's move on. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Now this is the verse I want to go to tonight. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Now there's quotes here in this verse, so now the Lord is speaking. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Those who depart from me, can I have that? Oh, it's right there. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they've forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And you say, well, what does that mean? And I was reading this, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, there's two places where your name, and your name represents who you are and the essence of what you are, your name. There are two places that your name can be written. Your name can be written on the earth, and there's a lot of tombstones with a lot of names. Or your name can be written according to the Word of God somewhere else in heaven. Amen. Two places. Those that depart from me, their names are going to be written on the earth. They're trusting in man. They did trust me at one time, but now they've trusted in man. Judah, you served me. You were the apple of my eye. But now you have backslidden, Judah, and here's what's going to happen to you. And I believe that in this passage of Scripture, there's a tremendous warning, but there's also a tremendous promise. And I want to look at the two places tonight where my name can be written, on the earth or it can be written in heaven. Now, in Revelation, if you'll go there with me, we'll just put it up on the overhead. In Revelation chapter 20, John the Revelator looks and he says, and I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So now I'm seeing a scene. God said, your name can be written on the earth if you depart from me. I want you to think of a tombstone. I want you to think of all the names that you've seen written in the earth. And now John says, and I saw a great white throne, and the books were brought out, and the dead were brought forth. The sea gave up the dead. All those that had ever died that were not written in the book of life, now they're before the throne of God. And watch what this says. It says, and the books, this is what I love, were opened. There are books. There are books, plural, that have pinned down your life and my life. But there's only one book in heaven where my name can be written. There's not a plurality of books. There's one book. And the book of life, the book of life was brought forth, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Two places where my name can be written. My name can be written on the earth, or my name can be written in the book of life. Two peoples, those that depart from God, those that don't trust God, those that don't want God, and those that do. Now, here's what I want to go to tonight. What has this got to do with me? I want to talk to you tonight about two realities. I want to talk to you about kingdoms and about parallel realities. Because, you see, my name, Deborah Cobray, my name is written in the book of life. I'm on the earth. I'm living on planet Earth, but my life is hid in Christ and I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Now, those that are on the earth who don't believe and don't want to believe, who choose to depart from God or choose to not believe, their names are also written, but their names are written on the earth. And their names are not in the book of life. And they will face the second death, which is the lake of fire. There is a real hell. There is a reason why Jesus came and died so that you and I could be saved. Because God knew in our sinful state that we were born into, we could not exist eternally with him. And the only way that I could come into my true destiny and my identity as a woman of God, a daughter of God, or a son of God, was if I would be offered a chance at redemption and life. And that's the cross, and that's through Jesus Christ, who is the King of the kingdom. Now, this is what I want to look at tonight, is the two realities. Here's the deal. How many of you in here, and I'm talking to Christians tonight, how many of you in here know your names are written in the book of life? Okay, I'm not going to ask for those of you that don't know, because we're going to give you an opportunity tonight to think about it and to change destinies if you want. But the two realities that you and I live with are two kingdoms. The natural, the Word of God calls it the visible, which is the natural, and the invisible, which is the kingdom of God. Those are two realities. I live in a natural world. I live on this planet. I'm in a natural body. This body is flesh and blood. It houses my eternal spirit. I am a spirit being made in the image of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am having an earth experience. I am not going to be here for very long. And in light of eternity, 70, 80 years of earth time is not even a blink. The reality, the other reality, is the invisible kingdom of God. And that's a kingdom where we can't see it in the natural, touch it, taste it, feel it, or smell it in the natural. But it is more real than the visible world that we are currently experiencing. Yeah. So if I'm going to have my name written in heaven, in the book of life, and if there are books that are being opened and everything I've ever done is recorded, because I will face judgment, the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian, then I guess I better know what kind of a reality I need to live in. Do I need to live in a natural reality, or do I need to live in a supernatural reality? Do I need to live in a world that is bound by space and time? Or do I have the opportunity now, as a woman who's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, born of the Spirit of God, do I now have an opportunity with my name pinned in heaven as a citizen of the kingdom of God? Do I now have the opportunity to step into the invisible world, and that needs to be my new normal and my new reality? Are you with me? Because if that is true, then there's a lot of work that I have to do, because I am still very bound by space and time and by this natural world. And we all are. Every single one of us. Wake up to the sun. We see the sun setting. We live in a natural world. We experience climate. We experience the natural, and we're supposed to. But this walk on earth, this earth walk that we're on, is far more important, I think, than maybe we realize. Because this is, like Jim said this morning, a faith tube. It is a place whereby we are offered an opportunity to change destinies and to change citizenships. I can be earthbound and my name can be written in the earth, and my fame and my exploits and my life will simply stay on the dust of this planet, and that's as far as it's going to go, because it's very, very, very short. Or my name can be written in the book of life. I now am a daughter and a citizen of heaven. My Father is the King. He owns the universe, makes the universe, makes everything. And I have the opportunity now to join in the family business, the kingdom of God. I'm a king. We are a kingdom of priests unto our God. Are we not? A royal priesthood, Peter teaches us in 1 Peter 2:9. For you are a royal priesthood, a holy generation, that you should show forth the praises of him who has redeemed you and brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a royal priesthood of men and women, citizens of heaven, having an earth experience. And I need my reality of heaven to be much sharper, because my life works are being recorded. Right? So having said that, and that introduction, let's just look at the one that has come to give us and to change us and to model to us what it's like to have a new reality. And his name is Jesus. Because Jesus was on the earth as a man, but he lived his earth life in the kingdom of God as the Son of God. And as he is in this world, so are we. I'm on this planet, but I'm not of this planet. And there's a moment in time when I will shed this tent, and mortality will put on immortality, and I will be in eternity, and I will be in full redemption mode. Right? So, having said that, let's look at a couple of things. Let's look at the kingdom of God, because I'm talking about a new reality. It's as if you were dreaming, and you're having a dream right now of your earth experience, but you're really, really, it's just a dream. What if I told you that the impossible was available to you? What if I told you that you could live your life in a completely different way than you're living it right now? What if I told you that you never had to have another day of fear? What if I told you that it's not the will of God for you to worry? It's not the will of God for you to be stressed. It's not the will of God for you not to have your needs met. Because God is a God that takes care of his children. He said, don't worry. Why do you worry? You can't change it anyway. So let's look at the kingdom. I just want to give you some things about the kingdom, then we're going to look at some things in the next 15 minutes. You ready? The kingdom of God. The reality that we don't see, touch, taste, or feel, but it's more real than the visible world. It's all powerful. First of all, the kingdom of God is all powerful. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He's the King of the kingdom. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:20, and he says, for the kingdom of God is in, not in word, but in power. No. Does it mean anything to you that the kingdom of God is right at your beck and call? No. Does it mean anything to me that when I look at my bills, when I look at this church, when I see the budgets, when I see the needs, and in the reality of the everyday life, my heart wants to be discouraged, that I can switch over to the real reality of the kingdom of heaven and realize that every need is met. Every worry is already taken care of. Are you with me? Two realities side by side. One we see and we live in, and one we can't see, but it's where God wants me to live. Are you with me? The kingdom of God plunders hell. We're in a war, and there is a battle. There are converging kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. If you think you're not in a war, you just can't see it. You can't see right now. If God gave us the gifts of the Spirit right now, we're operating, and we can have discerning of spirits, we'd see angels everywhere. But right now, I'm looking around, and I see a lot of empty seats, and I see a scattering of people that are here to have a Bible study. That's what I'm seeing in the natural. But you see, God says that my kingdom, my invisible kingdom, it's made to plunder hell, to take out the strong man, to destroy the works of the darkness. For this reason, Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He's given that assignment and that family business to the church. But if I'm constantly in the reality of fear, if I'm constantly wondering if this is going to get me, or that's going to get me, or this is going to get on me, or this sickness, or this disease, or this example, or that, this thing in the recession, or the money, or this or that, if I live my life in worry and fear, I'm living in the wrong reality. And my name is written in heaven, and that's not where God wants me to live. It plunders hell. Luke chapter 10. Behold, verse 19, I give you power. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Spirits of infirmity, sickness, and disease, nothing shall by any means hurt you. And yet we're so afraid of germs that we're germophobic. I'm talking about two realities here, guys. The kingdom of God and the natural world. And how we slip into our natural reality and we don't even realize we are selling ourselves short of everything God has for us. Because it's normal living for us. Now, I'm not saying that we should throw away wisdom. Jim and I wash our hands. We know the basic laws of hygiene, and we should follow them. And God's given us doctors. But if nothing shall by any means hurt me or harm me, then I don't have to fear cancer. I don't have to fear plague. I don't have to fear anything that would try to harm me or my children or my family or my church. Because that's the reality that Jesus wants me to have. This is where he lived. He lived in this reality, church. That's why he could look at a man with a withered hand and he could say, stretch out your hand. And the man on Sabbath stretched out his hand in the synagogue and it was completely restored. Why? Because he was the Son of God? Yes, of course. But because he was living in the reality of the kingdom of God. And he said, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But where am I living? Where's my name written? And what reality am I living in? Earth or heaven? Are you with me? Yeah. Listen to this. Over all the power of the enemy, verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Rejoice in what? That the demons are subject to you. That you have power. Because that was a good feeling for the disciples. That the spirits are subject to you. But rather rejoice. Because your names are written in heaven. I'm telling you, there's more to this than we know. Where my name is written is where my citizenship is. It's where my family is. It's where the laws that I abide by and that I come under are. And my reality needs to be the kingdom of God and not the earth realm. I am moving through this planet and I'm on this planet, but I'm to live in the kingdom of God, the supernatural kingdom that's all around me. So let's talk about the kingdom a little bit more. Well, we know it plunders hell. The kingdom of God expands by kingdom violence. Oh, this is rich because this is where the Crusades came from because of fleshly thinking. God's kingdom is not like the world's kingdom. It is nothing like man. God's kingdom is completely opposite of what the kingdoms of God, of men are. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Doesn't mean we pull out our swords and we go invade Jerusalem like they did in the Crusades. They didn't understand this. But Jesus told us what the violence and the force of the kingdom was. He said it was fire and it was the sword. The fire of the Holy Spirit, Luke 12:49. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled, he said about the kingdom. Matthew 3:11 says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The fire of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, they're one and the same. Is the fire of the Holy Spirit. The force of the kingdom is the power of God in me, the Spirit of the living God, who is a flame and a fire. Case in point, when they became citizens in the first century and the early church, when they were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit fell on them, what was over them? Tongues of fire. Power. Not the fire of the earth that we know if we put our hand in it, we get burned. We are talking about the invisible kingdom of God and God the Holy Spirit, who is the creator of all things, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the very fire of the Holy God himself is now on the inside of me. And that is the force that I change things with. The power of the Spirit of God. And the sword. Oh, listen to what Jesus said. The sword. Jesus said, in Matthew 10:34, do not think that I've come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Revelation 9:1, it says that he is the living word of God. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He is the Word of God. If you read chapter 19 of Revelation, he's called the Word of God. The sword comes out of his mouth. It is the Word of God, and the sword of God is the spoken Word of God. When you and I open our mouths and we say it is written, when we know the Word of God, when we wield the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6, having done all, stand therefore, put on your armor, take up the shield of faith, and pull out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the kingdom of heaven. If my name's written there, I have a weapon that is indestructible. It will take out the enemy. It will bind the strong man. It will change circumstances. It is the Word of God. The kingdom, fire of the Holy Spirit, and the sword of God, the Word of God, are the weapons. The violence of the kingdom, it is not flesh. It is not gunpowder and nuclear power. It is spirit power. Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the leper. Matthew 10:6. But go rather, he said to his disciples, he sent them out, it's on the overhead, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. His reality. When there was 5,000 hungry people, not counting women and children, just men, and he had nothing to feed them. Twice there was huge crowds where they'd listened to him for days and they had not eaten. He looked out over the crowd, thousands and thousands, and he said, you feed them. They looked at him as disciples and said, what are you talking about? We can't even go find a store we couldn't buy this much bread. But you see, his reality wasn't the circumstances. His reality was the kingdom. His reality was, what have you got? Well, I've got a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. I've got a little boy's lunch here. And he says, give it to me. His reality of the kingdom took those fish and loaves. When he broke them and gave thanks to God and he passed them out to his disciples, they multiplied to feed thousands upon thousands, the kingdom of heaven. Where's my name written? Is my name written on the earth? Am I living an earth reality? Or is my name written in heaven? And am I living a kingdom reality? Because I need a new normal. I need a new normal. I need to know this kingdom. And I need to experience it more than I'm experiencing the natural, because it's all I know right now. It's all you know right now. I know that because I counsel the people of this church and I teach the people of this church. I know the women of this church because I teach the women. I know that they're afraid and that they're mad at their husbands and their marriages are falling apart because the men can't go out and get jobs like they used to. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who trusts in the arm of flesh. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord when the drought comes. You see, men, you can't go out and get jobs like you could before. Now it's time to switch over to a new normal. Now it's time to realize that, yes, you are a son of God and God wants to breathe on you and bless you, but you can't do it like you used to. Now you've got to begin like Jesus to understand. If there's needs in your family, what have you got? What's in your hand? When you give it to God and when you see the kingdom and you realize you are a son of God and a daughter of God, then anything is possible to those that will believe. To those that will believe. Jesus understood this. He modeled it for us. And you and I live in a world of the natural. So, three little things in the next few moments just to give you to think about. Tonight, if you don't get anything else out of tonight, please realize that there are two realities in your life and my life. Two very real situations. There is the natural world, the visible world, the Bible calls it. And there's the invisible world, the kingdom of heaven. And God says, your name is either going to be written in the earth, and that's it. When your name is written in the earth, you have your own agenda. You do your own thing. You go your own way. You choose what you're going to believe. You're your own man. You're your own woman. But your name is written in the earth. It's not going any further, and there will be a day when the books are pulled out. You will face the living God. And if your name is not written in the book of life, you will join Satan in the lake of fire. And God did not create you for hell. He created hell for Satan and his fallen angels. He created you to be a citizen of heaven, a son and a daughter of God. But it's my choice. It's my choice. So having said that, three things tonight just to think about. Basic instructions on a new reality. When my name is written in heaven, number one, I'm going to have to commit to seek first the kingdom. It's a commitment. My husband and I married each other and we said vows and we put rings on each other's fingers. We committed. We committed till death us do part. There's a lot of marriages because we've both been married before. So we know the failure of divorce and we know the flesh and how weak it is. I know that I was in a marriage where there wasn't a commitment. There wasn't faithfulness and there wasn't loyalty. So does my husband. Now, in Jesus, when we got washed and cleansed and when we married before the Lord, we were new creations in Christ Jesus. We're going on 33 years. I know there's times he'd like to just take me out. And there are times I'd like to take him out. Because we're human, just like you. And we got to work out our salvation just like you do. And every stage of life has a new season and new opportunities to flourish or to fail. Written in the earth or written in heaven. But my husband is faithful. He is faithful to me. I don't worry that he's out checking out other women and he's out with other women because he's loyal and he's faithful. He's not worried that I'm out in the bars smoking a joint, sleeping around. He's not worried about that. That is not an issue with my husband, with me, because he knows I'm committed. Now, God says, if you're going to be a citizen of heaven and you're going to have a new reality, the first thing you're going to have to do is seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek it first. Which means I'm going to have to be committed, convinced, and absolutely persuaded that this is the truth and this is how I'm living my life. There's a ring on my finger, and I'm not going back. I'm not looking back. I'm not longing to do something else. And when those thoughts come and those ways want to come of the flesh, I know what to do with them, and I deal with them, and I continue on. That's how you get a new reality. Look what Jesus said. Very familiar scriptures, but look, let's look at them just in a new light. Luke 12:29. Don't seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. He's talking about worry. He knows us. He knows the reality of earth. He knows this fallen planet. He knows the enemy of our soul far better than we do. He says, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock. For it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What an incredible promise and gift. You have just been freed, men, from ever having to worry again about taking care of your family. Because your God knows that you are a man that has a responsibility of being the man of the house, and he has promised you that the nations seek after these things and worry about them, but if you'll seek the kingdom, men, He'll make sure you take care of your family. Single moms, women that don't have men, and women that do have men. He's freed us from worry and being anxious, from paying the bills and doing all the things that women do and all of our multitasking, and our brains can fly everywhere and we can worry more about things in 1 hour than a man can in a week. He's just given us permission to never worry again. To not worry because it's the Father's good pleasure to give his daughters the kingdom. The impossible, incredible, invincible, infinite, absolute kingdom of God. So, what does that mean? It means that I'm going to have to be persuaded that this is real. That means when I'm the only one that believes it and nobody else. That means when the family thinks I'm crazy. For instance, like Rahab. Rahab the hoe, you know, the faith hoe in Jericho? That kind of rhymes, doesn't it? I can't have too much fun with you because of the time. Rahab in the book of Joshua was a woman in Jericho who was a prostitute. There was over 50,000 plus people in Jericho. They all heard the same thing, that Joshua was coming across with Israel. They were all afraid. They all heard the stories, but only Rahab was committed to believe that God was the God of heaven and God was the God of earth. Her Amorite God she put aside. She put her life at risk. She hid the spies on her roof. And my question to God is, God, when did Rahab, with all of these other people, here she is, just being the hoe, doing her thing, listening to the local gossip, hearing the stories, because that's what she says in Joshua chapter 2. When did she wake up? And when did her name switch from being the name that would be in the earth to being the name that was in the kingdom of God? Because she's in the genealogies of Jesus, and this is what she said. She said in Joshua chapter 2, verse 11, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you." Speaking to the two spies, but she said, "For the Lord your God, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath." And somewhere, that little hoe woke up and she was persuaded that the kingdom of God is real, that God is God in heaven, he is God in the earth. Her name was changed and she's in the genealogies of Jesus and her destiny changed. So when you are seeking the kingdom, that means I got to be convinced and committed when nobody else is. When my family isn't. How about Job? Job, you know, the one that lost all his kids, lost all his wealth, lost all his riches, the one that was sick and diseased, and his three friends gather together and they browbeat him. Job, that one, you know, the one that you don't want to be like, Job. Anything bad that can happen, happened to Job. I never liked that book. It's like, I don't even want to look at that book. What if God does that to me? Have you ever felt that way? It's because I have the wrong reality. I'm thinking earthbound. I'm not thinking heaven, because this is what Job said in Job chapter 19. So it means I'm committed even when God seems unfair and uncaring. Because this is what Job said. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that my flesh, that with my flesh, I shall see God." I'll see it. "I know that my Redeemer lives. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why he's doing this. My maids won't listen to me. Why? My breath bothers my wife." Read it in Job 19. "There's nobody on my side. The circumstances have overwhelmed me. I cry out to God and he doesn't answer me. I think he's doing this to me. But this I know. I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that he shall stand on the earth. And I know that this flesh, when it's dead and gone and it's dust, that this flesh will see him as he is." That's committed. That's seeking the kingdom when nothing's working. This isn't a jolly ride down the little yellow brick road. This is church. This is the redeemed. This is the citizens of heaven. And if hell comes against you and you don't think God's listening, you are committed and you're not quitting and you're not turning back no matter what. When nobody believes, you still believe. Are you hearing me, church? A new reality. How do I get it? This is how we get it. Number two, I've got to commit to love the Word of God. There's a time coming on the earth when there will be such deception, that there will be a great falling away. Yes. Now, we've been told that we're going to get raptured out of here, so we don't have to worry about that. My question to you is, what if that theology isn't quite right? What if we have to go through some persecution like the first century church? Yeah. What if things aren't going to get really good and things get really hot? You see, what if, because this is what it says in the Word of God. Are you all right with me? Yes. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Church, if there was ever a time to get right with God, it's now. If there was ever a time to not play church, not sit on the sidelines. Greasy grace, he'll forgive me. Yes, he will forgive you. But do you want your name written in the earth or do you want it written in heaven? Do you want the reality of earth or do you want the reality of the kingdom of God? If I want the reality of the kingdom of God, if I want a new reality like Jesus had, then I'm going to have to commit to love the word, because it's only the word that's going to change my heart and change my mind and keep me from deception. Only the word of God. If I don't know what God says and what his word says, and lying signs and wonders begin to come, and they are already here. We are already so full of the dust of this earth and dirty that we don't even know it. Come on, somebody. Do you know what our generations, three generations ago, would, if they were alive right now, what they would think? I'm old enough to know what my grandmother thought. The purity of heart and thought that she had, because she hadn't spoiled herself like I did with drugs and sex and everything else. Now, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm cleansed from that life, but I don't need to go back to it. I don't need to entertain it on my television. I don't need to look at it. I don't need to listen to it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, there's something called personal holiness and sanctification that God is requiring. Judgment begins at the house of God. We've talked about a backslidden church, Judah. I'm talking about a warning that God is giving us. He's saying, I want you to have the reality of the supernatural. It's yours. But to have this reality, some things have to take place in your life, child. Deborah Cobray, you have to make some changes. You're going to have to develop an appetite, a voracious appetite to love my word. You know, right now, I'm out of time. You know why? Because we can only have services so long. You know why? Because we can only sit so long and listen. I'm so serious. I'm so serious. We are in a generation and a culture of cool. We are in a culture of what looks good, of what is convenient. But what looks good to God and what is convenient to the Holy Spirit? Do I want the reality of the kingdom of heaven? Do I need healing? Do I need God to come through when I don't have a job? Do I want to see the real kingdom of God? Then my reality has to switch over from earth to heaven. And that means there's some changes I have to make in my own life and in the lifeblood of this church. I look for the day when this church is packed and we're having a five-hour Bible study. You bring your Bibles. Let's have questions and answers. Let's see what God says. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Great deception, unbelief, is scheduled for the last generation. I want to be the last generation because I want Jesus to come. That means I'd better get savvy in the Word of God. James 21 says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the Word of God that has been planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. When I hear the word and I don't do it, I've just entered into the first stages of deception. Earthbound, not heavenbound. Doesn't mean I'm not saved, but I'm talking about the kingdom and the reality that God wants me to live in. This is the last one. Last one. I'm going to have to, I want to have a new reality of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to have to commit to pray. I have to repent of prayerlessness myself. I've gotten lazy in my prayer life. Very lazy. Jesus told a parable about a widow woman in Luke chapter 18. And that her lands were being taken away. She was needing this judge. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a little while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry to him day and night, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith in the earth? Now, this is not a lesson in comparisons. This is a parable in opposites. An unjust judge versus the just God. An unjust judge who doesn't fear man or care about man, and the God that loves us so much that he died for us. And Jesus says, if this unjust judge would avenge this woman because she continually came, how much more when the church begins to understand the weapon of prayer? If we do not pray, if I do not pray, I am then consigning my world, my family, my church, my city, my nation, my cares, my worries. I am consigning them to two things. I am consigning them, number one, to the frailty of human flesh and its leadership. And I am consigning them to, number two, the viciousness of hell and Satan's hordes. Because apart from prayer, nothing will get changed. It is God's system of communication, and it's God's system of power. And God has been stirring my heart and saying, you need to repent of your prayerlessness, child. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? In 209, we prayed every Sunday night. That was our Sunday nights, was prayer meetings. It's now 211. I submit to you that God is dealing with me about committing to prayer. To pray like I've never prayed. And if you've never prayed, then begin to pray. If you prayed and you haven't prayed like you used to, then you renounce what you are and where you are, and you begin to pray again. Three things tonight to see this new reality of the kingdom of heaven. Where my name is written in heaven, I'm a citizen. Number one, to seek the kingdom. What does that mean? We say it all the time, but what does it really mean? It means when nobody believes, I believe. When it's not convenient, it doesn't matter. When hell comes against me and the circumstances are impossible, I don't quit and I don't give up and I don't turn back and I don't put my hand to the plow and I don't long after where I was. Amen. Even though you may be tempted to do that. And if you've done that, I've got good news. You can repent and you can start all over with a fresh start. Number two, God says, Deborah, you're going to have to develop a fresh appetite for the Word of God, because new things are here. New levels, new devils. Satan is beginning to unleash a deception on this earth that will deceive like you've never seen, with lying signs and wonders. And do not tell me that our culture is not filled with fantasy, demonic movies. We are getting very used to the demonic supernatural, are we not? We are being set up for a season and a time. And God says, my people had better know my word. When you read it, you do it. And when you do it, you get blessed. And when you don't, you start entering into deception. And number three, child, will I find faith in the earth? Child, he said to me, all kingdom ministry is birthed in prayer, is sustained by prayer, and is successful because of prayer. Child, repent of your prayerlessness and pray again. Do not accept the inevitable. It can be changed by prayer. It can be changed by prayer. This nation doesn't have to fall. This nation doesn't have to go down the tubes. There's a harvest to bring in. This valley can be prosperous. We can have jobs. We can see God do miracles. We can see things change. But am I praying and believing God for it? Like that widow and the judge. Where's my name written? My name's written in heaven. That I know. Where's my reality? Too much of my reality is earthbound. I renounce that reality and I ask God to double me up on a new reality of the kingdom of heaven. Did you get something out of tonight? I'm so out of time.